Werman, and this is The World. Glad you're with us. At this point, Donald Trump is looking like the man to beat for the Republican presidential nomination, and today he's just gotten the endorsement of a former rival, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. So with all this capital, how does Trump feel about the Middle East? That's one of the biggest challenges a president can face in the White House. Trump was asked about that at a recent town hall meeting. He said an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal is probably the toughest deal there is to make, but he's willing to try.
Let me be sort of a neutral guy. Let's see what I'm going to give it a shot. It would be so great. I would be so proud if I could do that.
Yeah, that would be great. Veteran Middle East watcher Aaron David Miller has been paying close attention to Trump's campaign. He's with the Wilson Center.
The striking thing is that in a presidential election season, whether you're a Republican or Democrat, when you run for the presidency, it is standard operating procedure to draw positions that are markedly and emotionally pro-Israel. And what is so unique and striking about Trump's positions is that he appears to be much cooler, much more detached, and to use his own word, which he used again in the debates, neutral on the subject. He was booed at the Republican National Jewish Coalition in December because he refused to take a position on moving the embassy to Jerusalem, which Cruz, Rubio, and Kasich have all pledged to do. He talked about his neutrality, and he's expressed repeatedly this sort of fascination and excitement with resolving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What an honor it would be, how difficult it would be. And I think what you see here, even though he's course-corrected and now he claims he will move the embassy and he supports Israel, the reality is what you saw in his initial comments are his instinctive reactions. He considers himself the world's greatest negotiator, and he's expressed a view more than once that if you're going to be a mediator, and, you know, I worked for half a dozen secretaries of state on this issue, on this he happens to be correct. If you're going to be a mediator, you have to preserve a measure of credibility, whether it's neutrality or avoiding taking positions that would undermine the prospects of reaching a deal. He has managed to stake out, and he did so again in the debates, a position that seems much different than his Republican rivals. And I think it reflects, frankly, a certain degree of pragmatism and practicality when it comes to this particular issue.
I mean, in that way, isn't he speaking in a manner that is very much Obama in action?
There's no question about it. In fact, I tweeted out this morning that with a few revisions, Donald Trump could do nicely as Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State. So the reality is there is an odd and idiosyncratic MO when it comes to Donald Trump that on the one issue where every other candidate, including Hillary Clinton, seems to come out 100% behind the Israelis, that you have Donald Trump in an election campaign. You have him staking out this this position, which is much more mainstream and frankly, much more in line with what previous American presidents have said and in essence done with respect to the Arab-Israeli issue.
Why is he doing this, do you think?
You know, I wondered about this and I speculated whether or not it's his sheer self-confidence. He's really not dependent on traditional forms of fundraising. And he actually told the Republican National Jewish Coalition in December, you know, most of you aren't going to vote for me anyway, he said. Mm. And yet I'll be good for Israel. I think he really does see himself as a sort of ideal negotiator. And whether it's business deals or diplomacy, I think it is in his negotiating DNA that you have to be tough during a negotiation. You have to apply honey as well as vinegar. And you don't undermine your own position by essentially adopting stands which will fundamentally appeal just to one side. And he said it again last night during the debates. It's actually quite fascinating.
Does Trump mistakenly see the Mideast as a big business deal waiting to happen? And is he really mistaken in thinking that?
I mean, I wouldn't presume to know how Donald Trump looks at the world. But if you look at some of the positions he's taken on issues, his basic instincts, frankly, are quite cautious, risk-averse, and very pragmatic. I mean, he rightly has identified the fact that the Iraq War was, in fact, a catastrophe for the United States. He has refrained from these threats to tear up or shred the Iran agreement, which both Rubio and Cruz have committed to doing.
Right.
But again, what I sense about Trump is this private sector business notion that you don't throw good money after bad. That suggests to me a certain degree of caution when it comes to these matters, whether or not he has the expertise to manage the complexities of this issue should he become president is a far different matter.
Aaron David Miller, there are a lot of Americans and people around the globe, as I've found, who shudder at the idea of a President Trump. As far as the Mideast goes, what is your major worry with a President Trump? And what do you think people who have hard and fast ideas about Mr. Trump should start to unlearn?
My worry is the absence of judgment, prudence, and wisdom. We need to avoid the two transgressions that I think can get great powers and has gotten this great power into all kinds of troubles. And that is the transgression of omniscience. We think we know everything, and we're not in a hurry to find out what we don't know. Now, there are two strains in Donald Trump, it seems. One is the bravado, the toughness. We're going to make America great again. We're going to win. And the other is the more prudent, cautious, private sector, logical risk aversion versus risk readiness piece of Donald Trump's approach to the world, which is going to compete with those tough and bravado instincts. So I worry, however, that the absence of knowledge and the effort to assert American power is something that really concerns me about a Trump administration. As far as what Americans have to unlearn, I think there's a certain reality, and that is that this political system is based, in fact, that this country was founded on the basis of its regard and respect for the individual, that an individual can actually function, perform, and advance in this political system. And I think we need to prepare ourselves for the possibility that in our politics today, an angry, anxious nation, a country that is at sea on so many issues, has come to somehow support probably the most idiosyncratic, unusual presidential candidate in the modern history of the Republic.
Aaron David Miller, a fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center for Scholars. Great to speak with you. Thank you.
Marco, thank you.